Okay, we have been looking at the covenants of God. Specifically the three main ones. The Mosaic, the Abrahamic, and the New Covenant. The last meeting we zoned in on Genesis chapter 17. Where God told Abraham to get circumcised. And this was to be a sign of the covenant he was under. God commanded Abraham to be circumcised in order to keep his covenant. And in the same way today, God commands us under the new covenant. We need to undergo the circumcision of the Spirit also. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised. With a circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ. It says, in him you were also circumcised. The initial circumcision comes when you come to Christ. And the Spirit of holiness comes and dwells within you. But then there is the outworking of that circumcision in your life. As we pick up our cross daily and follow him. As we put to death the misdeeds of the body. This is the outworking of the circumcision of the Spirit. Remember, we said we are circumcised, we are being circumcised, we will be circumcised. I was circumcised when I came to Christ and the Spirit came in my life. He made me a new man in Christ. But then I am being circumcised. As I learn to put the flesh life down daily by the power of the Spirit in my life. Then one day God is going to circumcise me completely. When he removes this body of death which imprisons my spirit. And clothes me with a spiritual body of power. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture says to Abraham, if he didn't get circumcised, God considered this that he was breaking God's covenant. Everything that was written in the past was written for our instruction today. And in like manner today, if we do not undergo that circumcision of the Spirit also, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to mold our lives also, that in effect we are breaking his covenant also. Not in the sense that we can break it because it cannot be broken. But we're breaking our connection to that covenant. Because the only reason we're in that covenant is because of our faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 7 to 8. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. But in sanctification. That's what God has called you to. He hasn't called you to be a Christian or a convert. He's called you to be a sanctified believer in Jesus Christ. That means we put the old man off and put on the new man. By the help of the Holy Spirit he has given us. The scripture says, so he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gave his Holy Spirit to you. God didn't give you the Holy Spirit so you could just speak in tongues. So you can do miracles and look very like a powerful person. God didn't give you the Holy Spirit so you can fall on the floor and look spiritual. He gave you the Holy Spirit that you may become a new man. That you might be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he who rejects this is actually rejecting God who gave his Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men.
What do you mean?
And the sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. The Bible says to pursue it. That means to be actively following after God's leading. Pursuing holiness out of reverence for God. And we spoke yesterday about how many people in the church today think that they are saved and they can live however they like. They think it doesn't matter how they live their life. Because they said, I got saved, therefore I'm going to heaven. But we need to understand that circumcision is the sign of the covenant we are under. Do you have the evidence that you are under the covenant? 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What fruit do you have in your life? Anger, jealousy, bitterness. For love, joy, and peace. When you squeeze a fruit, the juices come out. What is inside comes out of the fruit. If your life gets squeezed, what comes out of you? Self-control, kindness. This is what the Holy Spirit will create in you. As you allow that circumcision of the Spirit to have its way in your life. Amen. We saw that the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant are one and the same. One is physical, the other is spiritual. And the physical is deliberately placed in Scripture to teach us about the spiritual. God told Abraham to undergo circumcision. And that was put there for the express purpose of teaching us today the same thing. Not physical circumcision, but spiritual circumcision. In Romans chapter 2, verses 25 to 29, it says this: For physical circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. That means it doesn't matter if you've been circumcised physically. If you break God's law, it is as if you are uncircumcised in His eyes. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? You see, spiritual circumcision is the main thing. And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who, although you have the law, are a transgressor of the law? Amen. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly in the flesh. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh.
dinero que él quitaron.
But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart. Not by the letter, but by the spirit. And his praise is not from men, but from God. If you allow the Holy Spirit to crucify your sinful nature, 1 day when you stand before him, he will give praise to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. I long for that day.
Amen.
Amen. Too many people today, they read the Bible with uncircumcised eyes. They read the Bible and say, it doesn't say anything to me. I don't understand what it's saying. God never speaks to me. I'm not receiving spiritual revelation. That's because your eyes are still uncircumcised. Your ears are uncircumcised. Your heart is still covered with flesh that needs to be cut away. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore remember that you, formerly Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Performed in the flesh by human hands. The true circumcision is that which is of the heart. Too many people boast today, I'm circumcised, I'm in covenant with God. But all they've had is something done to their physical body. But if you look at their heart, it is full of bitterness and jealousy and anger. Such a man is actually uncircumcised in God's view. Remember the Apostle Paul. Many people would consider him to be a super Israelite. He was circumcised on the eighth day. A Jew of the Jews. He was zealous for keeping the law. But what did he say about all these things? Whatever things were gained to me in the past, these things I now count as loss. I count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Amen. We should always view things in the Bible with spiritual eyes. Amen. Circumcision, there are various characteristics of circumcision. There are various characteristics of circumcision that teach us what spiritual circumcision is like. It was painful. It was carried out by a skillful surgeon. And it removed an old piece of useless flesh from our lives we didn't need anymore. When the Spirit starts cutting away our fleshy life from us, the process He uses can be downright painful and unpleasant. No one should think the Christian life is just an easy road. It is a crown of thorns to those who take up the cause. But there is joy in the journey. Because for those who choose that path, God's grace will be sufficient for them. And at the coming of Jesus Christ, such people who have chosen that path will be awarded the crown of righteousness. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Do you strive against sin in your life? That means, do you put lots of effort into trying to stop that sin in your life? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. But sorrowful. If God disciplines you, it's not nice. It's a difficult experience. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The problem is we like to sin. And this addiction will only be taken away by extreme action. We all have a sinful nature. Some of us like to sin in one area, others like to sin in another area. Some people's sins are very obvious. They get drunk at night, beat their wives, and take drugs. And often we look at such people and say, what a terrible sinner. But then all the time I'm harboring pride and gossip and unforgiveness in my own heart. But because those sins are not so obvious, it makes me think I'm more righteous than they are. Problem pride is the worst of all sins. It's the root of all sins, really. Satan fell because of his pride. That's why living a cross-centered life is the most important thing in our lives. Because when you lay down your life, you are defeating that pride in your own life. When we first get born again, we are set apart unto God. We are declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was a sinner. I deserve to die and be thrown into hell. Because God says the wages of sin is death. But then Jesus died in my place. And at this point, all my sins have been dealt with. And as I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I rest in His mercy and grace. And my sins are washed away. I become a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen. I am sanctified unto God by the Spirit. That means I am circumcised unto God by the Spirit. The problem is I still live in this fleshy body. I have sinful mindsets that have yet to be renewed. This is what the Bible calls the old man. Even though I am a new creation in Christ now, I still possess something of that old man that I used to be. And this old man now needs to be cut away bit by bit by the Spirit. And this is that ongoing circumcision I must endure. As the Holy Spirit shows dark areas in your life. And says you need to deal with this area. Amen. God will deliberately take you out of your comfort zone. Into trial and tribulation. In order that you may be put under pressure. That you may see what is inside of you really. Otherwise you think that you're just a wonderful person. And that sin hides deep within the recesses of your soul. But when God puts pressure on you, what is inside comes out. Anger, jealousy, fits of rage.
Hallelujah.
And you see, amen. And you see what is actually inside of you. And once you recognize what you're really like, then you can start to deal with it. The Apostle Paul says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Christian journey is a narrow path. It's not the broad road which is easy. It's a narrow gate and a narrow path. And it's not easy to find that gate to start with. And that road is difficult. And it's very easy to be taken away from that road. But God says, if you are faithful to me, and you stay on that narrow path, that's the only path that leads to the heavenly city. And at the end of the journey, it will be worth it. And though the path may be difficult, you will have joy in the journey. Amen. Circumcision must be carried out by a skillful surgeon. Jesus was called the great physician. If you were going to be physically circumcised, and you went to see the doctor, and he had shaky hands, he said, give me that knife. Come here close. Would you feel confidence? Don't worry, just come close. I'd be out the door very quick. I would be out the door fast. Jesus is called the great physician. He knows exactly where to cut, how much to cut, what tools to use. And his hands don't shake. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Many people today picture God on the throne. Sitting down and not doing much. Just looking around every now and again, see how we're doing. Say, God rested on the seventh day. God's at rest. God, they say, God's at rest. But Jesus says, I am working and my Father also is at work. What is he working on? Is he working on making Uganda a great nation? Is he working on the politics in America or Britain? No, he's working on a specific building project. It's called the new creation in your heart. He is about the business of forming in you Jesus Christ. The scripture says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Which is as Christ. Be clothed with Christ. The Apostle Paul was concerned about the Galatian church. And he said, with whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ can be formed in you. He said he was in the pains of childbirth. Till Christ could be formed in them. He was praying for them. He was preaching to them. He was like a mother with a baby. Wanting for that baby to be born. He was wanting that new man to be born in their hearts. That Christ may grow and become the perfect, complete man in them. God didn't save you for the purpose of just having more converts. God saved you for the express purpose of forming Christ in your heart. And that begins at salvation. But then carries on throughout your life. You see, a baby, when it is born, has everything it needs for life. But it is not yet the mature man. It needs to grow. Needs to feed on the pure milk of the Word. Needs to feed on the good Word of God. The Apostle Paul tells people to grow up in their salvation. Leave childish ways behind. Become the mature man in Christ. Amen. This is God's plan for each one of us. We cannot circumcise ourselves. We cannot even sanctify ourselves. This is something that God does. But what we need to do is to cooperate with God. Put ourselves in a position where we're ready or available to undergo that cutting. Available to undergo this cutting away of the old man. I struggled with that concept when I first became a Christian. The Bible told me to mortify or kill the deeds of the flesh. That is, stop committing sin. Struggle and fight against it. But then I would listen to other preachers. But then they would say, if you try and restrain your evil impulses, you'll never succeed. If you try to stop sinning, you will never succeed. Because you can't do that, it's beyond your power. You need to let go and let God do it. In other words, let God do the work. Because if you try to yourself, you will be engaging in self-righteous dead works. And they say, doesn't the scripture say it is God at work in you? So I'd think, am I wrong to try to struggle with my sin? Should I stop trying and just let God deal with my flesh? Should I just focus on His grace in spite of my sin? The answer is, it is a joint effort. The Holy Spirit in the book of John is called the Parakletos in Greek. This word means He is the helper who has come alongside us. He's not behind you giving you a kick to get you moving. He's not in front of you, so he's out of reach. He comes alongside you. And as you limp through this life, He's there to hold on to. Because He's right beside you as the helper. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you must cooperate with Him. You must also strive against sin. But you must learn to do it by the power that He gives you. Many people say, I can't do that. And certainly when we try and struggle against our own sin, at times we'll feel we're fighting a losing battle. But it is only when you go through that process that you will start to learn how to use God's power rather than your own. It's only when you're moving in that direction that God will actually maneuver you. Problem is, most people today, they say, well, let God do it. And they never actually learn how to properly work out that salvation. And they use the excuse that, oh, that will become dead works in my life. You may engage in dead works up to a point. But if your heart is right before God, God will direct you. And through that process, He will teach you how to be led by the Spirit. This is not easy to learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God within me. You see, the Apostle Paul labored more than all of the other apostles. He worked harder than any of them. But he learned the art of actually doing it by the power of the Spirit. I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. The grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness.
Ungodliness.
The Apostle Paul learned how to receive that grace. And then to walk in that grace. Amen. It's a partnership with God. As He initiates holiness in our lives. But then us cooperating with Him fully. With the strength that He provides. Fighting the good fight of the faith. Say, some guys, they say, oh, I can't help it, that woman looks too nice over there. I'm a man, what's a man to do? I can't help going with that other woman. She's not my wife, but who cares? I've tried to stop before and it didn't help. I just trust that God's graceful anyway. Circumcision is a painful process. Sanctification is a tough process to go through. Where you literally have to guard your eyes. Guard your thought life. The Bible says to take captive every thought. The battleground is in your mind and in your heart. That's where you will win the war or you will lose the war. Too many people today have no self-discipline in their minds. Some men, they have such an uncontrolled mind. As soon as they see a woman, they're thinking all sorts of wrong thoughts about her. They need to take control of that mind. Bring it under the subjection of Jesus Christ. That may not happen overnight. But it's something you discipline your body to do. Some women, they speak with their tongue like a weapon. They don't even think, their tongue is like a sword which is going and cutting people. What do you need to do? Take control of those thoughts. The Bible says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth.
I missed some word.
So the Bible says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. When you're thinking of gossiping about somebody, when you're thinking of slandering that other woman behind her back, take control of your mouth. Become mute. Some people just need to stop talking in order to discipline their tongue. Should we praise our God with our tongue and then curse man that is made in God's image? Can fresh water and salt water come from the same fountain? Sometimes we have to take extreme action. Sometimes we have to take extreme action. I used to have a real problem with how I looked at people. Especially women. And the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. You have a problem in this area, Alex. You need to deal with it. And I had to go to extreme measures to discipline my eyes. And sometimes I might look a bit ridiculous. Because if there is a woman there with a low-cut dress, I might be looking the other way. Because I knew that if I looked, then I would be trapped. And that discipline was not yet in me to control myself in that situation. But I thought I would rather go through the circumcision of Christ. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than someone who is trapped in lust. With no self-control. And over time, God developed self-control in me. But it was a process I had to be engaged in myself. Amen. We need to be serious about these matters. Fight the good fight of the faith. Amen.
Amen.
If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you are in partnership with God Almighty. The question is, do you have the Holy Spirit? And are you calling out for His grace daily? God is sovereign. And He will deliberately put you in situations where your flesh is squeezed and exposed. Once you realize what your weaknesses are, you can acknowledge their existence and cry out to God for God's mercy to help. In Romans chapter 7, verses 24-25, the Apostle Paul said, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. See, Paul had been squeezed. And what was in his heart had been revealed. And he said, "The good that I want to do, I do not do." But the very thing I hate, that is the thing I do. And he came to the point where he said, "Wretched man that I am." We all need to reach that place in life where we say, "Wretched man that I am." Too much of our Christianity today is making ourselves feel good about ourselves. If you make people feel good, they'll come to your church. And if people come to your church, you'll have more influence. And you'll have more money coming into the church. And you can do so many more good things with all that money. But on what basis are we bringing people into the church? On what basis are we bringing people into the church? If you're just making people feel good about themselves, you'll end up with a church filled with tares and goats. You may have a lot of them. They may give a lot of money. But what good is it in the end? When you stand before the judgment seat and have to give account of your stewardship. Did you make disciples of all nations? Or did you just fill your church with tares, goats, and foolish virgins? Have you ever got to the point in your life where you say, "Wretched man that I am"? Who will set me free from the body of this death? That's a good place to get to in your Christian life. Because it's at that very point when you stop putting your own efforts in. Or should I say, you stop relying on your own efforts. And you fully express faith in God. And fully cry out to Him for His mercy and grace. That's exactly when He will answer that prayer. Amen. We need to realize that God is sovereign. Whatever comes your way in life is not just an attack of the devil. God is sovereign. Many times today, we say, "Oh, the devil's attacking me." The devil's after me again. The devil put that person across my path. The devil caused that puncture on my tire. That devil caused my tire to be punctured on my car. The devil caused me to lose my phone. Let me rebuke the devil. And so much of our prayer life is focused on rebuking the devil. "I bind you, devil, where's my phone?" "I bind you, devil, stop lusting." God is sovereign. Not a sparrow can fall to the ground, but God does not know it. When Satan wanted to come against Job, what did he have to do first? He had to ask God's permission, didn't he? What if God said no? Would Satan been able to attack Job? No. God gave him a limited access to Job initially. And Satan was only allowed to maneuver according to what God allowed him to. Often we think Satan does whatever he pleases. And we fill our prayer life with rebuking him constantly. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And the fullness thereof. The Bible calls God the sovereign Lord. Who brings evil and who brings good. Who formed the destroyer to destroy. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Anything that happens in your life has been allowed by God. But what do we do in our lives? I bind you, devil. Let me ask you a question. If you bound the devil, who let him go? If you bound the devil, who keeps letting him go all the time? Why do you keep on having to bind him over and over again? See, when Satan gets bound in Revelation 20, he stays bound for 1,000 years. And he can't get out of that prison for 1,000 years. And he doesn't sneak out the back door himself after 1,000 years. God allows him out for a short season and time. Let me tell you something. The Bible does not tell you to bind the devil. That scripture about binding and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It's all about forgiveness and unforgiveness. If you walk in unforgiveness, then you are binding your brother in your unforgiveness. If you forgive your brother, you are loosing your brother in forgiveness. It comes in Matthew chapter 18. Just when Jesus has gone through the process of what to do if a brother sins against you. If a brother sins against you, try and deal with it. Try and loose them in forgiveness. Don't bind them in unforgiveness. It's nothing to do with binding the devil. And people will say, what about binding the strong man? Jesus said, if you want to take a strong man's house, you must first bind the strong man. Then you can enter his house and plunder it. And people think, well, that means I need to bind this demonic power called the strong man. Jesus bound the strong man when he was resurrected from the dead. He stripped Satan of his power. He made a public display of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Triumphing over all the demons and evil spirits through the cross. When Jesus appeared to John in the book of Revelation, John fell at his feet as though dead. And Jesus said, "Do not fear. I am the first and the last. I was dead, but now I am alive. And I hold the keys to death and Hades." "All power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Amen. The strong man has been bound. One day he will be bound completely when the return of Jesus Christ. See, often in our prayer meetings, all we do is bind the devil. Can I respectfully say you're wasting your time if that's what you're doing? And I can say that because I used to do it all the time. See, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on the devil all the time. Don't be looking for the devil everywhere. Because when you do that, you've got a big devil and a small God. Don't blame all your problems on the devil. The devil is only ever able to attack you if God allows him to in the first place. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan has asked for you." "That he may sift you as wheat." Could Satan attack Peter just straight away? No, he had to ask God first. He had to get permission from God first. "Satan has asked for you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail." God allowed Satan to come against Peter. Sometimes God will allow Satan to attack you in your life. But it'll only be something God allows. Amen. In Corinthians, the Apostle Paul spoke about a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. It seemed like a demonic presence would follow him wherever he went. To cause him trials and tribulations wherever he went. Do you ever see the Apostle Paul binding that devil? No. Do you ever see him casting that devil out? No. What did he do? 3 times I pleaded from the Lord to remove it from me. See, Paul's eyes were fixed on Jesus. His eyes were not fixed on the devil. His eyes were fixed on Jesus. Three times I pleaded from the Lord to remove it. But what was God's response? I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for you. Because this is exactly the way you're going to learn to trust in me. You're such a powerful, intelligent person, Paul. You need something like this to keep you trusting in yourself. Amen. But when you are weak, that's when I will show myself strong through you. Amen. Now, I should say, that doesn't mean if someone is demon-possessed, we can cast the demon out of them. God has given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. To defeat all the power of the evil one. But bear in mind that person needs to come to Jesus first. Too many times we try to deliver people who don't want to be delivered.
Without them wanting to be delivered?
Yes, we try to deliver people who don't want to be released from their sin.
Okay.
Remember when Jesus went to see the Gadarene demoniac? When that man saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. He showed by his actions he wanted to be set free. Therefore, Jesus cast that spirit out. Sometimes people are in our churches today, and when the Spirit of the Lord is present, maybe they manifest evil spirits. But do you know if that person wants to be set free from that evil? And often what happens is Satan gets all the publicity.
Sorry?
Satan gets all the attention and all the publicity. Because all we're focused on is dealing with these manifestations of the evil spirit. You see, if someone wants to continue in their sin, the devil has a right to be there. And you can shout and holler as loud as you like. That devil doesn't have to go. Because the person wants it. Because they're unwilling to let go of their sin first. I've wasted a lot of time in my life praying for people who are not ready. But if someone is willing to throw off their sin, then by all means pray for that person and cast that devil out. But don't waste your time binding that devil. Because that's just a waste of time. Remember the apostles, Peter and John. When they were beaten in front of the Sanhedrin. They were released back to their own. They had a big prayer meeting. How? What did they pray? So they say, I bind those devils over the Sanhedrin. I take authority over those religious spirits in the Sanhedrin. Is that what they did? No. What did they do? They prayed to the Lord. Our sovereign Lord. You who made the heavens and the earth. Consider their threats. And enable your servants to speak the gospel with power. Enable your servants to speak with boldness. Whilst you stretch out your hand to perform mighty miracles, signs and wonders. In the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see, it's the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Enable us to take the sword of the Spirit and speak the gospel with boldness. That's how you attack the forces of darkness. Remember Paul in Acts 17 in Athens. There were many tombs there to gods or idols. Altars. That place was filled with evil spirits. Some people would say they'd have to fast 2 weeks before they'd ever go there. Bind all those devils over that place. But what did the Apostle Paul do? Did he start binding the spirits over that place before he was able to preach? No, he just proclaimed the gospel. Because it's the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Often we say, the devil's attacking me. But often God, well, in every situation, God would have allowed it. Many times it's our own stupidity that's got us into that situation. If you're sleeping around with prostitutes, don't be surprised that you don't get AIDS. Don't say the devil's attacking me with AIDS. No, I caused the AIDS to come to myself. Amen. As circumcision is a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. So circumcision of the spirit is a sign we're in the new covenant. If you want to walk out that circumcision of Christ in your lives, you must have a resolve in your spirit. But the Bible says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification. Is that your heart attitude today? It should be. Amen. Let us pray.
Amen.